Let's pray.
Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this day and this time together with one another, this time together with you and your Holy Spirit. Be with us, mold and shape us, help us to hear what it is that you want us to hear, so that we may be challenged and encouraged the way you want us to. We pray this, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, our scripture today is Luke chapter 4, verse 21 through 30. Then he began to say to them, Jesus, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, is this not Joseph's son? He said to them, doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, doctor, heal, cure yourself. And you will say, do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum. And he said, truly, I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine all over the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elijah, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. When they heard this, all the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of town, and led him to the brow of a hill on which their town was built, so they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. To understand fully what's going on here, we have to back up a little bit to last week's sermon. Last week's reading was the first half of this scripture. So I'm going to read it through real quick. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and was, as was his custom, he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, sat down. The eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. And then he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said to him, is this not Joseph's son? Okay. Oh, you're all caught up. There was a man who loved working in his garage. He loved building cars. He greatly enjoyed getting his hands dirty. And he was in his garage working on his car, fixing it up, and he was a mess. Working on his car gave him this desire to go and buy a car. So he went out to the local Tesla dealership because that's the kind of guy he was. That's what he can afford. And he left his garage, went to the local Tesla dealership. If you had never seen a Tesla, they're impressive pieces of machinery. Not cheap pieces of machinery. Your low-end Tesla is going to run you about $60,000. And if you ever do see a Tesla in the parking lot, one of the ways you can recognize them is the lack of the tailpipes on the end, because they're electric cars. They're impressive. So he went to the local Tesla dealership and to buy a car. And he said, you know, I'm looking for a car. And he's still dressed in his oily rags and his hands are a little bit of a mess and he's got grease on his face. And the guy there said, you know, I'm sorry, sir. I think you're in the wrong shop. We sell Teslas here. You won't be able to afford anything that we have. And so the guy called, asked to see the manager, and he saw the manager. He said, I came to buy a car, and I even have cash on hand. And he said, and your guy won't sell it to me. Well, it's a popular thing to judge people by their cover and then judge a book by the cover. To immediately guess that person's personality, that person's where they came from, what they're capable of doing, just on that first impression of what we see. It's something that we do quite often. And sometimes we don't even know we do it. It's called, what's it called? Profiling. There's another word I was looking for. Implicit bias. That implicitly we have a bias because the way we brought up, because of things that we've experienced in our lives, and we view people, and that implicit bias just kind of pops up. I know of people, maybe you know of people, who if they're driving and someone cuts them off, they automatically say, "I can't believe she did that." Got to be a woman driver.
Yeah, that's what they
said. That's not right. That's not fair. And of course, not everyone does that. My dad did a study on implicit bias one time, and he went into a jeweler, I might have shared this with you, a jewelry store in a wheelchair dressed in old clothes. And when he was asking for a ring, they only showed him the rings through the glass in the case. He went back a couple weeks later dressed in very nice clothes, and they brought the rings out and put them on top of the case. And so there's this implicit bias that challenges us every day that we got to be aware of. Jesus' village showed the same thing. Jesus comes into the village, his hometown, and he goes to the synagogue, and he sits down in the thing, and he reads Isaiah, the scriptures that I read to you, and he has the audacity to say, "And today in this reading, this has been fulfilled." Jesus saying, more so than not, I am the fulfillment of Scripture. I'm the Messiah. I'm the one that you've been waiting for. I am the Son of God. I've done all of these things that Isaiah's talked about. This scripture has been fulfilled. And their reaction is, didn't we see this boy playing on the streets? Wasn't he Mary's child who fell down and scraped his knee? Isn't he the one who's had the snot all over his face that I went up to and wiped off? Sometimes it's the one who knew us growing up that doesn't expect much out of us because they've seen us at our most vulnerable. They've seen us with our biggest mistakes. And we can't grow beyond that. They had a choice. Jesus gave them a choice. Either they could A, confront their implicit bias. They can affront their rash judgments and be convicted of them and be changed and say, "Wow, I can't believe that this Jesus is the Son of God. That's amazing. That's wonderful." Or they can act in violence. And that's what they did. And in our culture, we too have these same decisions being played out in our lives, in the lives of our culture, almost every day. People are confronted with their implicit bias, with their discrimination. People are confronted with the things in our own lives that we're struggling with and wrestling with. And we have two ways that we can respond to that. Either by changing, by seeing how it is that we're going wrong and work to fix that. Throw ourselves upon the altar of God and say, "Lord, change me, help me to be the way you want me to be." Or we can act in anger and yell and scream and rant and rave. And there's a lot of that going on, especially on social sites and that sort of thing. People confronted with how they're wrong. And they always say, "But I'm not." Jesus convicts us in our lives of the places that we need to change. I had to take a class on implicit bias. And notice that one of my implicit biases, one of the things that I have done in the past is that when I refer to a woman, oftentimes I refer to them as a girl. You ever hear people refer to women as girls? The guys and the girls. know, that sort of thing. Many of you are past the age of girlness by a couple years here and there. And so I've been trying very hard to refer to the women in my life as just that women. Young women, even as young as 18 years old, young women in that place. They did a video on implicit bias. This, you ever see this one? It's a cute, cute one. They showed a 5-year-old girl. She was a girl, 5 years old. And they said, I'll say that one for last, because in the video they showed it last. They showed her brother, 8 years old, 10 years old. They said, do me a favor and run like a girl. They showed an older man in his 20s, run like a girl. They asked the 5-year-old girl, run like a girl. You know, because it was different for her. Because for her, being a girl meant power, pride. We got these implicit biases that don't serve anything but separate us from the image of God. When we see people, we see objects, we see stereotypes, we see biases, and we act upon them. When Christ, because he died for us, showed us that we are desired and wanted and loved, and that we are created in the image of God, and that when we see one another, we're to see that, be convicted and be challenged, be changed. We have, when confronted with our own biases, two ways to respond. I pray that because of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, we're able to respond in a way that honors God and that lifts up the image of God in ourselves and in others.